are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Purity. Everybody say purity. Say it again, say purity. Say it again, say purity. Amen. Tonight's going to be a special night. It's going to be a historic night for many of you. It's going to be a new beginning. And I believe God's going to set you for what is to come. How many of you are believing one day you're not married, but you're believing God for a great partner one day? If that's you tonight, lift your hand and shout a big amen. Come on there in Pretoria as well. Hallelujah. How many of you are dating? How many of you want to be dating? Not one of you. Clever, clever, clever. How many of you are in a courtship relationship? Who is getting married in December? Who is getting married in January? Who is getting married in February? Who wants to get married in March? Somebody inboxed me on Facebook when I said we're going to do the purity place tonight. I'm hugely excited. Great to see many people here tonight. Also in Pretoria, and I know across the country, it shows a real desire in the hearts of people to please God. The person writes, when you mention about the Pledge of Purity, we were so excited because we are living testimonies of making such a pledge. My wife and I would like to testify about the power and the protection of pledging for purity. One evening in 1998, our youth ministry had an open evening where about six youth groups were invited. That evening, an organization called True Love Waits were on our program amongst other activities. We all signed a pledge to keep ourselves for our husbands and wives. Tonight you are going to be doing that. A pledge for purity. Amen. Say amen. Amen. We met each other in March 1999 and started courting in November that same year. About 1 year into our courtship, we one day spoke about signing a pledge for purity. As we were speaking about it, I asked my wife, my girlfriend then, where she signed it. She told me that she signed it in one evening at a youth group they were invited to through Love, True Love Waits. She mentioned my then youth pastor's name, at which church the signing happened. I told her that I was the program director and signed the same pledge through the same organization that evening. We were under one roof, and we could not remember seeing one another. God is a matchmaker. You're under one roof, so watch the link very closely. Song of Solomon 8 verse 4, he says, do not awaken love before it's time. We got married in 2004, both as virgins, and we are still enjoying the fruit of that decision after more than 10 years of marriage. To God be the glory. God bless Eugene and Chandra. Come on, give the Lord a praise for that. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 1, verse 3, or from verse 1, the Bible says, then the king instructed Aspenas, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there were no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, and of the new wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 7, to them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hannah Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want to read that again. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Tonight we come to purpose in our hearts, to not defile ourselves and to keep ourselves pure in this world that we find ourselves in. Can you say amen? No matter what the world has to offer, we are better than the world. We are different to the world. I believe tonight will be a new beginning for many people in this place. I believe tonight God will give you a clean slate. No matter how bad your past was, this is a new day. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, even though your sins are as scarlet, I will wash you white as snow. So tonight, as a young man, as a young girl, as a married man, a married woman, will be a new beginning for you. There in London, there in Windhoek, there in Gaborone, there in Durban, a new beginning. Somebody in this place tonight say, new beginning. Say it again, say new beginning. I don't know about you, but I need new beginnings. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Today can be a new beginning. Today can be a memorial day for you, where you bury the past, the shame of yesterday, the mistakes of yesterday, the tragedy of yesterday, the ways of yesterday, and you can have a new beginning. Many times we have young people talk to us and say, Pastor, I wish I heard these things before I lost my virginity. I don't know how I will ever be able to tell my future spouse that I lost my virginity. Well, one thing you can do is you can have a new beginning tonight. And you can say to your future spouse, there was a night I had a new beginning. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Somebody say again, new beginning. So let's talk about this purity and holiness. Not a holiness the way we grew up in church, where holiness meant hair in a bun for women, no makeup on, no jeans on. We're not talking about holiness that starts on the outside. We talk about holiness that starts on the inside, that reflects through your life. So 1 Timothy 4:12, the apostle writes to a young man, Timothy, and he says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. All the young people here say example. Say again, say example. To the believers in word, in conduct, which means lifestyle, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 5:2, the Bible says, treat the older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. Everybody say purity. Say it again, say purity. Now the word purity from the Greek means to live clean. It means to live innocent. It means to live modest. It means to live perfect. It means to live chaste. And it means to live pure. The Oxford definition says it's freedom from adulteration or contamination. Freedom from immorality, especially of a sexual nature. The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, many scriptures, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by or to glory and virtue. So God calls you to virtue. Virtue means moral excellence. Like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were morally excellent. They lived above reproach. We're not talking about lawyer. They purposed not to defile themselves. Remember, we're in this world. We're not of this world. Oftentimes we sing, Jesus made a difference in me. Jesus made a difference. What difference did He make? If you look like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, smoke like the world, drink like the world, what is the difference that Jesus made in you? We are different because we are different. We are not better. We are different. Say amen tonight. We are not different because we have a fish on the letterhead, a fish on the car. We are different by the grace of God. We are born again. We have the nature of God on the inside of us. We are partakers of the divine nature. That means we're in the world, not of the world. We live differently. Our values are different. Our norms are different. Our standards are different. Our lifestyle is different. Our conversation is different. Our courtship is different. Our music is different. Our jokes are different. Our relationships are different. Amen. I mean, when I got saved, we got rid of all our music. Led Zeppelin, Uriah Heep. Most of you won't know anything I'm talking about. Black Sabbath, ELO, Bob Marley, because I was one of those in the group. Bob Marley, because when I listened, we don't wanna dance, me. I was one of those when the music went, I was thinking reggae, because I used to smoke. I used to smoke. So I had to get rid of the music, because the music takes you places you don't want to be. So everything changes when Jesus comes into your life. Not you become religious, but your values change. Your music changes. Your desires change. Your models change. Your role models change. Come on, say amen. Amen. The things I used to do, Lord, I don't do no more. The places I used to visit, Lord, I don't visit no more except to evangelize. The things I used to drink, Lord, I don't drink no more. The jokes I used to tell, Lord, I don't tell no more. The dresses I used to dress in, Lord, I don't dress in, lo and behold, no more. Jesus made a difference. Jesus made a difference. Jesus made a difference. Be angry and sin not. Before you got saved, you got angry and you could blinkety, 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 blink. You can't now, after 20 years, be born again and go back to blinkety, 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 blink and lose yourself, lose your testimony, lose your salvation and begin to act like someone in the world again. We have to rein ourselves back and reclaim the territory that I believe many people have lost in purity and sanctification, living unto the Lord in this world. Shout a big amen and give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. So your purity is your testimony. I mean, if you do business like every other corrupt business, what is your testimony? If you talk like everybody else, what is your testimony? Now, we're not talking about being preaching. We are talking about being different in the world, not of the world. Living separated unto God, not isolated, separated. Big difference. Light of the world. Called to shine as light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You invite somebody to CRC and you say, oh, come to church with me, and he just heard you gossip. He doesn't want to come to church. He doesn't want to follow your powerless Jesus. You invite somebody to church and you were just sitting in the circle laughing at all the dirty jokes. He doesn't take your Christianity seriously. Because your conduct tells him who you are, your lifestyle. We should all preach the gospel and if necessary add some words. Say amen. So your purity is your power to testify. People in the world don't have power over sin. They are sinners. You have power over sin. That is the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lift your hand tonight and say, I am a new creature. Come on. Say, I'm a righteous new creature. Say it. Say, I'm a holy creature. Amen. You are. You're holy. You're justified. You are righteous. I believe God's calling this generation to separation for what God wants to do in the future. From London, Windhoek, Gaborone, countries, people watching live stream all over the world, God's calling His church to separation. Again, not religion. It's a huge difference. We're not talking about purity and holiness in do's and don'ts. We're talking about a lifestyle of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, where you sanctify the Lord and where you realize that the world is not your portion, but God is your portion. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Listen and pay attention to what God is saying. Verse 14, new covenant. Because some people think if you preach grace, you should not tell people to give themselves to God. You give yourself to God because of grace. So verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? So he says, you just don't hang out with lawless people. You don't just go to you don't just go sit and have a drink because you're lonely. You get yourself in trouble. When you go to those places of darkness, you take your Bible with and you order a glass of milk, which represents the milk of the word. You walk in there with intention. You go there with intention. So God's very clear. He says, what light has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? I mean, if you like hanging out in dark places, you better question who you are. Because sons of righteousness are attracted to the light. Sons of darkness are attracted to the darkness. So if you always want to be sinning, you better question or check your nature. You have an origination problem. You're in the church, but you're not born again. You need to be born again. Bible says of incorruptible seed. You need to check your origin, not religion. Going to church won't change you as much as sleeping in a motor car garage will change you in a motor vehicle. Jesus in John chapter 3 said you must be born again. You must become a partaker of the divine nature. God has to take that sin nature out of you, take that stony heart out of you, and give you a heart of flesh. Amen? So following God is a supernatural thing by the grace of God. So he says, what fellowship has light with darkness? You know, you're known by your friends. You are known by your friends. You are known by the company you keep. Birds of a feather flock together. Who are you hanging out with all the time? If it's a bunch of gossipers, it's because you are a gossiper. Says, what accord is Christ with Belial? What part is a believer with an unbeliever except to witness to him, to befriend him, to save him, to play golf with him, to influence him, to go on a bike trip with him, to win him to Jesus Christ, to go to the sports game with him, to influence him for Jesus Christ? If you don't influence people, they will influence you the other way. He says, what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Because we've seen this enough. Young people that love God and they connect with a guy that doesn't love God and they lose their zeal for God. Or they think, I'll get married to him and I'm going to win him over to the Lord. And when you see again, that person is not in the church because the unbeliever won the believer over. You don't want to date or go on a date with an unbeliever, because the Bible says you have no part with an unbeliever. You don't want to marry an unbeliever. Say amen. Yeah, but pastor, we're in love. You can't spell the word love. God is love. If God is not in the equation, there can be no love, because love originates in God. All there is lust, L-U-S-T, not L-O-V-E. So the feeling you have is not the Holy Ghost. It's another fire, but it's not the Holy Ghost fire. Amen. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Put your hand on yourself and say, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Say it. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you go party, the Holy Ghost doesn't stand outside the club. He goes in the club. When you go smoke a joint, the Holy Ghost doesn't climb out. He lives in that chimney. When you go drink yourself, not you, the one empty chair, when you go drink yourself, the Holy Ghost doesn't get out of you. That's why Paul the Apostle talks and says you need the revelation that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are different. God lives in you. God. Oh, my mother doesn't know what I'm getting up to, but God does. God lives in you. The angels assigned to you stand right in that place or around your car. They are there. The spirit world is more real than this physical natural world. More real. Amen. And in the context of marriage, as we spoke this morning, the marriage bed is honorable among all. That means the marriage bed is to be highly esteemed, is to be recognized as something precious in the sight of God. But outside of marriage, sex outside of marriage is destructive. Sex in marriage, the Bible is very clear. It says it is honorable. It is to be, the word honor means to be highly esteemed, greatly valued. So in the marriage, it's highly esteemed. Outside of marriage, it's destructive. So he says, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, the Bible says, therefore having these promises, what promises? Of fellowship with God, of communion with God, of walking with God, God being your Father. He says, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Somebody say, cleanse ourselves. From all filthiness, spirit, soul, and body, of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. I believe tonight many are going to answer the call of separation. And it's not going to be a work of the flesh. Because before I was saved, when I had a foul mouth, we would always try and stop swearing. And we never could. As a matter of fact, we were at school, and one of us would get a bee in his bonnet and say, okay, for every time you say a bad word, somebody punches the other guy. I mean, after 10 minutes, we couldn't lift our hands. Not that we were praising God to drink our beer. Amen. Because we just couldn't stop sinning. Because our nature was to sin. So when we talk about cleansing ourselves, we talk about purity and holiness by the power of God's grace. A work of the Holy Spirit, who is a Holy Spirit, who is called the Spirit of sanctification. The word sanctification means to set you apart. Galatians 5 verse 1, the Bible says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So clearly the call of God is holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15, the Bible says, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, which is lifestyle. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Hebrews 12 verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1. One final word, friends, we ask you, urge you is more like it, that you keep on doing what we told you to do to please God, not in a dogged religious plot. So when we talk about holiness, we're not bringing this heavy chain upon you that you need to live all burdened. I'm a worm. I'm not worthy. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a life of freedom and liberty by the Holy Ghost. You can be free, because people in the world are not free. They may be jumping and dancing on the table, but they are not free. God talks about living light in the Spirit. God talks about living free from the influences of this world. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Freedom, holiness equals freedom. You're sitting here today, and tonight you realize, you know that you're empty on the inside. People don't know it, but you know it. How do I know you know it? Because I knew it. I felt it. No matter how much we drank, how much we partied, I was empty on the inside. And there's only one person who can fill that emptiness, that empty space in your heart, and that is God Himself. And that God loves you. That God sent His Son Jesus to die for you. They're in London, in Windhoek, in Gaborone. For every nation, in our world, Jesus died for you 2,000 years ago. Before we go any further tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to make your peace with God. Maybe like the prodigal son, you wandered away from your father's house. You've lost yourself in the journey of life. Tonight, come back. Give yourself back to Jesus. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. You're in Bloemfontein, in Pretoria, in all our churches. No one except those involved in the service moving. God's presence is all over this place. God is not your judge. He's your Savior. He's calling you to salvation. He's calling you to surrender your life to Him. He's a God of a new beginning. And He wants to give you a new beginning. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. So give me the privilege to pray for you all over this place. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get right with God. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to make my peace with God. I need a new beginning with God tonight. If that's your desire, I want to pray for you. You're in Bloemfontein. In all our churches, the whole family gathered tonight, right where you are in your chair, watching that screen, God is with you, knocking at your heart. Open your heart and allow Jesus to take His place. If that's your cry, if that's your desire tonight, while every head is bowed, people praying all over the place, in every church, people are praying. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get right with God. I want to make my peace with Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus tonight. If that's the cry of your heart, quietly and unashamedly, wherever you are, just slip your hand up quickly so I can pray for you. Raise your hand up quickly all over this place. Raise it up. Raise it up high all over this place. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. Slip it up all over this place. Raise it up. Forget your friend now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on there in Pretoria, lift your hand. Lift your hand up there. God bless you, bless you, bless you. Slip your hand up now. Come on. There's a heaven to gain. All those hands, God bless you. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. What can wash away my sin? I see those hands on that ramp there in Pretoria. Keep raising your hands, come on. You're not in that building by accident tonight. Now, just keep your eyes closed. In this moment of worship, everybody pray this prayer right now as you come to give yourself to Jesus Christ. Pray this prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Tonight I give myself back to you. Please forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power tonight to be a child of God. Thank you for a brand new beginning. Thank you for making me whole and for setting me free. I surrender all to you tonight in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.